This is Talking Heads. It's the Wednesday morning zine here on KSJD. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and twice a month we join you, you join us here on KSJD to talk about local politics and issues of import in our community. And today is no different. We're speaking about air quality as it relates to natural gas production with our guest Josh Joswick with the San Juan Citizens Alliance, and we'll get to that subject here in just a few moments after these headlines. Gail?
Authorities believe a man who set off an explosion in Rico last Thursday did not intend to harm anyone. 56-year-old Douglas Markey of Hobbs, New Mexico, was reportedly injured by a homemade explosive wrist rocket. Dolores County Sheriff Jerry Martin has said that Markey was firing explosives in the air for amusement when the device misfired and blew up in his hand. He was flown to Durango's Mercy Medical Center for non-life-threatening injuries. Highway 145 through Rico was shut down for hours while authorities investigated to see if there was a further threat to the public. Markey could face federal charges. The city of Cortez got disappointing news about sales and lodgers tax revenues for the month of June. Sales tax was down 1% from June of 2010, while lodgers' taxes declined 9% from a year ago. And high levels of toxic chemicals reportedly have been found in air samples taken near natural gas production sites in southwest Colorado and northern New Mexico. Global Community Monitor trains community members living near industrial operations to sample their own air. GCM volunteers found elevated levels of 22 toxic chemicals, including 4 known carcinogens, in samples in the San Juan Basin area, as well as northwest Colorado. Those included high levels of carcinogens near the Sunnyside Elementary School playground near Durango.
Thanks, Gail. And we want to welcome our guest this morning, Josh Joswick. He is an energy issues organizer with San Juan Citizens Alliance. And San Juan Citizens Alliance is instrumental in issuing this report. The report is titled GAS, Citizen Investigation of Toxic Air Pollution from Natural Gas Development. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
San Juan Citizens Alliance, can you, before we get into the subject matter of the report, tell us who the San Juan Citizens Alliance is and your relationship to the development of this report.
Yeah, the San Juan Citizens Alliance has been in southwest Colorado for this is our 25th year, and we deal with generically social and environmental justice issues, but more specifically we deal with public lands, oil and gas issues, rivers issues, air quality. We've been dealing a lot with the power plants down in New Mexico and with the EPA on that in terms of trying to get them cleaned up. And then we also have our Compañeros program, which deals with immigrants' rights. So it's a pretty broad spectrum group that deal, you know, in terms of the variety of issues that we deal with.
The report that that was released, what role did San Juan Citizens Alliance play in developing or releasing this report?
Well, we were approached by the GCM and asked if we wanted to participate. So our participation basically included a training by GCM as to how to use the collection materials and the sampling materials, and then getting people involved in terms of going out and taking the samples. So what we did was we took samples in La Plata County, and then we took samples down in San Juan County, New Mexico, specific to gas development and gas facilities in those counties.
And once again, GCM?
Global Community Monitoring, I'm sorry.
Okay. Thanks, Gail.
How close were these samples taken to production sites?
Well, say like at the Sunnyside Elementary School, we were within 45 feet of the dehydrator. On Cow Canyon, we were, you know, probably within 20 feet of the compressor. And I was not at the one on La Posta Canyon Road, so I'm not really sure how close that was. But I know that, you know, it was probably within 50 feet.
And we were talking a little bit beforehand. What prompted some of the sampling to be done? I know it was different in northern Colorado than it was down here. You were saying that sometimes it was triggered by odor events.
Right. This program also happened up in Garfield County. And up there, I know I was talking to the people that dealt with it up there. and they responded to, I guess you would consider it citizens' complaints, if there was an odor, what they called an odor event. If someone woke up in the morning and the gas facility near their place smelled, then they called whoever was on the bucket brigade up there, and they would go out and take a sample. We were a lot more random than that. We just more or less showed up on a day and took a sample. And, you know, I guess there are two different ways of doing the same thing, but, you know, it's the way we did it was really very random. And I think that it lent credibility to what the results were because of the randomness of it.
If you've just joined us, this is the Wednesday Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope, and here with Gail Binkley. Gail is my co-host and the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. And today we're speaking with Josh Joswick. He is the energy issues organizer for San Juan Citizens Alliance. And San Juan Citizens Alliance has partnered with Global Community Monitoring in releasing a report today that the title of the report is GAST, Citizen Investigation of Toxic Air Pollution from Natural Gas Development. And that natural gas development is here in Southwest Colorado and in Northwest New Mexico. Gail?
I'll talk about some of the findings, I guess. What were some of the chemicals that were found in some of these samples?
Well, you had what they call the BTEX range group, so which is benzene, toluene, xylene, those chemicals, which I think are classed as volatile organic compounds, VOCs. So trimethylbenzene, but it's essentially in the benzene family and ethylene. And then there were also some things like acrylonitrile. Acrylonitriles, and which I had never heard of before we found them. And so those were the sorts of things that they were testing for, and that's what we found on these sites at levels that our analysts, or the GCM analysts, said this is something that we need to pay attention to.
And four of these chemicals, I understand from the report, are known to be carcinogens, is
yes.
that correct? And the others have adverse health effects of some sort or another, respiratory or
right.
something
that's
like
that's
that.
My understanding of it, yeah.
Now, are these chemicals, where are they coming from? Let's put it that way. Are they something in the ground that's being released when the drilling occurs, or how are they getting into the air?
Well, say like in the case of the dehydrator, which is what we tested out at Sunnyside Elementary School. So just to set the stage for that, you have a dehydrator unit, which is on a well pad, and that is less than 200 feet from the playground at the elementary school, the kindergarten playground. What you had was exhaust from the dehydrator unit, and that was what we picked up when we did our sample. So we were roughly 45 feet from the dehydrator unit, and we got whatever was coming out of there. So whatever goes on, you know, it was an emission from that unit. So it was directly related to processing of natural gas. And, I think that a lot of people now are very aware of hydrofracking and you know, what has happened with that. As to whether or not this is directly related to fracking, I really can't say that it is. I don't know, when the well there was fracked, how much of that dehydrator unit comes from other wells that might recently have been fracked. I think it's very hard to make that connection. But it's a very direct connection from whatever is going on in the dehydrator unit to what's being emitted at the dehydrator unit, and that's what we picked up in our sample.
But it wouldn't have to be, what am I trying to say? The samples weren't all taken near dehydrator units. They were taken near
right.
different types of production.
Right, that was just an example.
Okay.
Then we also did one near a compressor station, and then the other one, I believe there was a compressor station on a well site. So, and those, the third one, the compressor station on the well site, that was actually an area where the people had odor events, and that was what prompted us to at least get in touch with them and get them involved. And so that they would then, we knew that there was something that was going on there that, you know, probably shouldn't be happening in terms of what they were smelling. So, you had, these were all at natural gas facilities.
Okay.
But individual facilities, these aren't like large processing plants. We have three large processing plants over in La Plata County. We didn't test at those. We just went to individual well sites.
Now, you went to, if I have this my count right, you were at three individual well sites?
Yes.
And over what period of time?
About a three-month period.
Monitoring for 3 months in a row? Or?
No, I'm sorry. There were three samples taken and at three different sites. And it took us for whatever reasons, about 3 months to do that. We just didn't get it all done in 1 week.
Okay. And the is there such thing as disbursement? Or when so it's one thing to say something is carcinogenic. It's another thing to say, well, it's carcinogenic, but when it's spread out over a large area, you were 45 feet from the site, which means you were 155 feet from the playground at the Sunnyside Elementary School. Does this report address the idea that certain things can and do disperse, or at what particle count they're still dangerous, and are they still dangerous that far away?
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Well, I don't know how to tackle that, but basically, what you're talking about is parts per million.
Yeah.
Or parts per billion. I'm sorry. And at what point are these things carcin? You know, what's the tipping point there? And from what I understand, it was interesting because the EPA did a sample at the Sunnyside Elementary School. Unbeknownst to us, we didn't realize that they had gone ahead and done it because we weren't in the loop on that. They put out their report, and they got a very different kind of sampling, but it was a very different kind of result. What was interesting was that it was basically two very different kinds of samplings, and I'm not saying that their sample was invalid because of the way they did it, but I mean they just did it differently than what we did. And I would say that ours is probably a little more representative of what exactly is coming out of this unit as opposed to what they were doing. We did a one-time thing. They were over a period of time where the wind might have been blowing some other way. I'm not really sure what that was. They also, their levels of what they consider toxic were a lot different than the levels that what we're saying, this, you need to pay attention to this because the parts per billion level is in the toxic range. So I don't know if I'm getting to the, to what you were saying, but there are levels there that given where we were and the sample that we took, it is cause for concern. Now, do those get dispersed into the air? Sure. What that means over time, in terms of, if this thing has been going for 15 years, what does that mean? And I think the other concern that we had, or that we have now, is that, say, like in terms of dehydrator units, there is no tracking of how many of these things there are out there. And there is no tracking of where they are. So it's that's just a real big gap in being able to make any kind of cumulative impact an assessment of how much these are impacting the air there. Once again, cumulatively with volatile organic compounds, which not only do they lead to, are they considered toxic or carcinogenic, but they also are ozone precursors. So they're leading to the degradation of our air here in the basin.
Is it known how many well pads? You said it's not known how many dehydrators there are out there, but is it known how many well pads there are in our region in the study area of this report, northwest New Mexico and southwest Colorado?
Right. And so, in La Plata County, there are probably about 3,500 wells, not well pads, because sometimes there are more than one well on a pad. So say 3,400. In northern New Mexico, it's in the tens of thousands, anywhere between 20 and 30,000 wells. So it's significantly older play down there, plus significantly a lot more wells. So in terms of the impact, you're probably going to have an even greater impact down there than what we had up in La Plata County.
But Eric, the air doesn't stop at the border.
Yeah, bingo. You're right. It doesn't. And that, I think, is what we're trying to say, is that this is our air shed. And, you know, as we dealt with the power plants down in New Mexico, that was something we continued to bring up because there was a faction of people that were saying, what are you getting involved in this for? This is a New Mexico problem. And we're saying, yeah, well, look, you know, it's 10 miles over the line here, and it doesn't stop, as you are very well aware of over here in Montezuma County with the brown cloud.
If you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads. It's the Wednesday Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope here with Gail Binkley. Gail's my co-host and an editor and the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. Our guest today is Josh Joswick. He's the energy issues organizer for San Juan Citizens Alliance, and San Juan Citizens Alliance has just partnered with Global Community Monitoring in releasing a report called GAST, Citizen Investigation of Toxic Air Pollution from Natural Gas Development. We'll be back after this short break. Stay with us. We're back. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and I'm her co-host here on the show. Twice a week, we come to you talking about local politics here in Montezuma County and the Four Corners region, Dolores County as well, our service area. And today we're talking about the report just released by the San Juan Citizens Alliance and Global Community Monitoring called GAST, Citizen Investigation of Toxic Air Pollution from Natural Gas Development. And our guest today is Josh Joswick. He's an energy issues organizer with the San Juan Citizens Alliance. Hey, Gail?
Well, related to what we were talking to just a minute ago, obviously there's a concern about air quality throughout the basin and so on, but it would be more of a concern if you were close to one of these production sites. How closely can one of these things be located to a home or a school or something like that?
Well, the state rule is for well distance from a residence is 150 feet. In La Plata County, since we have back in 91, 92, we adopted county regulations that deal with development of oil and gas. That setback now is 450 feet. Now, there are, there are some older wells that are going to be in that 150-foot range, but generally speaking, now what you're looking at is 450 feet for the placement of new wells. Is that sufficient? The report recommends having a quarter mile distance, and I've spoken with people who say, well, that's not even near being far enough away. It should be at least half mile or a mile away. So the reality of it is we'll deal with 450 feet.
And that's just in La Plata County.
And that's La Plata County, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So each county might have different rules or just go by the state's rules.
Most of the time, that's what you'll find with counties that are faced with this. Not very many counties adopt their own rules. A lot of counties just defer to the state to let them take care of it, which, little editorial comment here, is a big mistake. You don't want the state taking care of your business. You need to be able to step up. And, yeah, I get, if you don't mind, I would like to talk a little bit about the importance I see of this as it relates to what possibly could happen here in Montezuma and Dolores counties, and that is with the development of shale gas, potential development of the Gothic shale and shale gas. And, you know, once again, when we talk about the airshed, that would be another 1,800 wells in the first round that would be in production and contributing this sort of thing to the airshed, this sort of thing to your air quality over here. And I think it's studies like this that point out the importance of trying to figure out what exactly you're going to do ahead of time. So you can go to the OGCC or you can go to the BLM and say, what will happen when we have 1,800 wells here? What is the impact of those wells? And because, you know, you can look at the individual well sites, and I will guarantee you no individual well site is going to exceed any kind of standard. But taken cumulatively as 3,400 wells or 1,800 wells, there's an impact. And that's the impact that needs to be looked at. And there's nothing wrong with looking at that impact. That's what agencies should do, and that's what counties should require agencies to do.
Josh, you're in a I would say you may be in a unique position in Southwest Colorado in that what you have just advocated for is for people in Montezuma and Dolores counties to ask their officials or for officials to look ahead into an aggregate piece, into the big picture, really. You were a county commissioner for 12 years
yes.
in La Plata County during the boom time, during the time when we were approaching and getting into the 3,000, 2,000, 3,000 number in wells. What would you have done differently in terms of planning, or what would you have asked the commission to do differently in terms of planning, had you known then what you know now?
Yeah, well, especially in light of this report, I think we've gotten a lot more involved in the air quality aspects of this thing. What control the county itself would have over something like that is probably pretty limited. But I think that what I would have preferred to have done would just say, look, you know, before we go any farther, let's do a cumulative impact analysis of this thing. Let's find out what's going to happen. We would have gotten ahead of a lot of problems that have happened had they taken the time to do that. And that, I think, is what I would advocate for over here, because you're right at the very beginning of what could be a fairly substantial shale gas play. Now is the time to do that. You don't want to do it when you're halfway through. You know, you want to know what you're getting into before you get into it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That isn't going to scare anybody off. That's going to hold them accountable. And traditionally, self-regulation simply doesn't work. The industry is not going to hold themselves accountable for this unless they're required to.
But, you know, another way to look at this is, look, if we start meddling into the market here with regulation, there's plenty of more lucrative plays in Pennsylvania and in upstate New York, and in that area here, we're a long way away from any kind of end users, so to say, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and the people who are thinking of investing and creating what could be many jobs on 1,800 wells here, they could just go find a more lucrative place to do this work. How did you deal with that question when you were in La Plata County as a commissioner?
Well, basically, there was nothing that we could have done as county commissioners that would have forced the industry out of the county. It was just too good a deal for them. And that was because it was coal bed methane. We're sitting on top of the most productive coal bed methane field in the United States. It's a golden place for them to operate. That coupled with our low mill levy, that was a very, very profitable, still is a very profitable place for them to be. In terms of what could happen here, if I've understood the discussions, there are really about three things that are keeping, four things now that are keeping the development from happening. And first is that they are, the people, I guess Barrett, is finding out that it's a little more difficult to develop the shale here than they thought it was going to be.
That's the Bill Barrett Corporation.
I'm sorry, the Bill Barrett Corporation, right, that is the main operator here. They're running into some technical difficulties in terms of developing the shale formation. What those are, I'm not really sure, but that's what I've been at meetings where I've heard that. The second thing is pipeline capacity, which is what you talked about. Third thing is their ability to access operating capital. And the fourth thing is the price of gas. Do they want to drill and put the money in to invest into drilling for gas that is $4 gas? And that is not the price that they need for gas, you know, for them to make any kind of development on this thing. I would argue that whatever regulations would be put on by the county would be so minuscule in terms of the cost to the company over the life of the well that is not going to be the determining factor. The determining factor is how productive these wells are going to be. And if they are having trouble producing these wells, that's going to play a large part of this rather than whether or not they're required to clean up the air.
Did you feel that pressure when you were a commissioner? Were you people
oh,
were saying,
you bet.
We will pull out of here. These costs are onerous. Because you just made a big statement that said these costs will not be onerous on a company.
Yeah,
and we don't have a company representative here, but what's your evidence that it won't be?
when you look at, and I'm taking it out of La Plata County, when you look at the kind of money that they're making per year or over the life of the 30 or 40 year life of a well, I am trying to think of, okay, say you required them to put $100,000 into a well that's making them millions of dollars. It's just counterintuitive to say this is going to make it impossible for us to operate here. And I will guarantee you every time, whether it was the county or the state or the feds, anytime anybody said anything about more regulations or, you know, in order not to regulate for regulation's sake, but to find, okay, you find a gap where something needs to be filled, it would be, by God, you're going to drive us out of here. And after a while, that just became a joke because it never happened. We would regulate, the regulations would go in place, and life would go on. Nobody would lose their jobs. Everything still went, it was a little blip. And after that blip was over, production continued, drilling continued, exploration continued just as usual.
Well, what options do the companies have for dealing with this air pollution? I mean, are you saying you would just have to say, no, you can't have a well there? Or, I mean, what else can they do about it?
Well, I'm sure that there's technology that would be able to allow them, say, in the case of this dehydrator, to capture or minimize the VOCs, minimize the emissions. And it's just a matter of technology. I mean, you know, and you can't, I don't know how old that dehydrator is. Didn't look all that new. You know, so go in there and clean it up, whatever that takes. And I'll guarantee you it's not going to cost that much, not in the grand scope of things, not when it comes to our air quality, not when it comes to our public health. And that's what you continue to hear, whether it's in fracking or air quality, is that profit takes precedence over public health.
What kind of health, adverse health effects have people experienced that they at least, you know, think may be attributable to some of this?
Yeah, and that's anecdotal, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, headaches, respiratory problems, and that's from the people living in proximity to these wells.
Sure.
Is that it's, and, you know, I I'm not going to say being sick more often than they used to be is attributable to this, but when you're getting headaches and you have respiratory problems, I think there's a pretty good connection there between that and what you're breathing.
Yep, go ahead.
Is there some way, we talked a little bit about smells. I mean, are there particular chemicals associated with natural gas drilling that smell? I mean, you're not going to smell all of these things that were found in the samples.
Right.
But if you do smell something, I mean, what are some of the likely guilty parties?
Well, there are two problems with that question. And one is, unfortunately, for whatever reason, I no longer have a sense of smell.
Oh.
So I can't, I really don't know what's, I don't know what it smells like. And that's the, I guess, the unfortunate part about it. I know that down in New Mexico, a lot of it is hydrogen sulfide. So that's the rotten egg smell. The others, I would just classify as chemical odors. You know, what they are comparable to, I couldn't tell you.
But some of these will be without any smell at all.
Right.
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 Okay. And it did talk about 22 toxic chemicals. I just wanted to mention, so not all of those are known to be carcinogens, but they're toxic in different ways.
But they're toxic in different ways and in different concentrations, like which is what you were saying.
If you've just joined us, this is the Wednesday Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope. I'm here with Gail Binkley. She's my co-host and the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. We're speaking with Josh Joswick, an energy issues organizer with San Juan Citizens Alliance, and we're talking about air quality in our area, and this is on the occasion of a report just released by the Citizens Alliance and Global Community Monitoring called GAST, Citizen Investigation of Toxic Air Pollution from Natural Gas Development. Josh, I'm curious about, we talked a little bit about the EPA before and their standards and what they find. Typically, organizers will pick it. They will find ways to be forced the government and other force companies, force governments, force individuals to do things. And why did San Juan Citizens Alliance, and this is more of an organizing kind of question, is why are you not forcing EPA to come up with the standards and the tests that you want? And it looks like a whole different tactic is to go out and come up with your own standards, your own testing, et cetera, and get that vetted. Is this a new way of organizing, a new trend around the country?
Maybe it will be a trend. I think that the advantage of doing it this way is that you can actually go to them and say, here are the results. This needs to be addressed. You know, I guess the only thing I would qualify your question with is I don't think we're going to be able to force the EPA to do anything. You know, I mean, unfortunately, we're not. It's great to be seen in that light as being that powerful, but I don't think we're quite there yet. Our situation over in La Plata County gets a little strange because we have the Southern Ute Tribe, which as a sovereign nation now has the authority over air quality. Now, they still work with the EPA, but they're in the process of developing their standards. So it's not just the EPA we're going to be dealing with. We're going to have to be dealing with the tribe as well. So I think that, and then as well, then you also have north of the line, of the reservation line, south of the line you have the tribe, north of the line you have the state. So the jurisdictions get pretty strange, you know, in terms of who we're going to approach. So we're going to have to be approaching the state, the EPA, and the tribe on this. But I still think it's a good idea to have some data so that it's not just all speculative.
Now, do you expect the state, the tribe, the EPA to impugn the data, or do you feel confident that this data is able to withstand scrutiny?
I feel confident that it's able to withstand scrutiny, and I'm sure they will impugn it. Will they successfully impugn it? I don't think so. But, yeah, they'll make that effort.
Okay. That's all the time we've got today for Talking Heads. I want to thank Josh Joswick for coming in. He's an energy issues organizer here in our region. He works for San Juan Citizens Alliance, and they have just released with their partners, Global Community Monitoring, a report called GAST, Citizen Investigation of Toxic Air Pollution from Natural Gas Development. And, Josh, I should ask, if people want to find out where to get that report, where can they?
That will be on our website, sanjuancitizens.org. And it isn't on there yet, but it will be put online.
I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And for Gail Binkley, I'm Jeff Pope. This is Talking Heads. Stay tuned to KSJD for all your news, entertainment, and information here in the Four Corners region.